If you have a Bible, take it and turn to John 11. John chapter 11. The Bible clearly teaches certain doctrines that we hold very dear. One doctrine that is tough to swallow, though, is the doctrine of original sin. That we're all sinners. That we were born that way, and that our lives have confirmed that. That we are sinners. And that the Bible teaches that we are dead in our sins. And there's always a question, well, how can a dead person come to life? And the Bible clearly teaches that that is through Jesus Christ. That it is His work of salvation. That it is a new birth through the Spirit of God that takes place in the heart of man. That God draws man to Himself. And yet, the Bible does also teach that we must trust Him, that we must believe, that we must come to Christ. And the question arises, well, how does a dead man obey? How can someone that's dead obey someone's voice? And as we've read this chapter, a large part of this chapter in John 11 about Lazarus, that's really the focus of what's taking place here. It is an example to us of our salvation in Jesus Christ. It's an example of what the power of God can do in awakening a heart. And yet a dead man obeys. And that's exactly what takes place in salvation. A dead man obeys. Obeys the voice of the Son of God. And so we're going to look at that tonight. And there's some interesting lessons that we can learn as we go through it. As we set the background for what Jesus is doing in John 11, we'll see some things that He teaches us even about the Christian life. And so we look at the first 16 verses. We'll take those as a whole and observe some things in there. So I'm going to read those verses again. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So here's the portrait of what Christ is doing. The first 5 verses, we understand that Lazarus is sick. We're not sure what the malady is, maybe some type of a fever, but he is sick. And word is sent to Jesus. Now, this Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha. And we've heard of them before. Mary actually anointed the Lord. And all three of them, they have followed Christ. They have trusted Christ. And so we have this picture. But Jesus, when he hears this, makes a curious statement in verse 4. He says, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, what's interesting about this is he says, This sickness is not of death, but we know as we read the chapter that Lazarus dies. So how could Jesus say this sickness is not unto death? Well, Jesus could have gone right then and healed Lazarus. In fact, we know from other portions of scriptures that Jesus could have said, as he was there, Lazarus be healed. And we know that Lazarus would have been healed. And Jesus did not have to be present for that miracle to take place. But he says this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God was going to get more glory. There were going to be people that came to Christ, trusted Christ, because they saw Lazarus raised from the dead because of what Jesus did. And not only that, it gives us a wonderful example of how he has raised us spiritually from the dead if you're a Christian. It's the same idea at work here. And so he doesn't just say something that's curious, he also acts curiously. He doesn't leave right away. He stays in the same spot for 2 more days, waiting to make sure, basically, that Lazarus is going to die or has already died. And so he could have healed him, and that would have been a great miracle. It would have been a great miracle if he would have sent word and said, "I've already said the words, Lazarus is healed." But that's not what he did. He stayed in the same place until he died. And then he tells his disciples, "Okay, we're going to go back to Judea. We're going to go back to this area where they were trying to kill me before, because they want to visit Lazarus in Judea." The disciples get upset. They think, well, we're going to go and we're going to have the same thing happen to our Lord. This is something that they just didn't understand. And so Jesus tells them this, and they say, well, they already start to stone thee. And he responds by this statement, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him." He's talking about the light of himself, that he understands exactly what he's doing. The disciples don't understand. They don't have any knowledge of what's going on. They don't understand how God is going to be glorified by what Jesus is going to do. And so they get ready to go. And the disciples say, well, he's asleep. That's a good thing. He's sick. It's good for rest. It'll help him recover. But Jesus explains to them that, no, he is dead. And it's interesting what he says in verse 15. And he says, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Not only was Jesus waiting, not only was he pausing before he went to help Lazarus, he was actually glad that they were not there. Why? So that they would believe. So that they would have a stronger faith in the Lord. They would recognize more of his power. You know, it's something that we ought to keep in mind when we are going through difficulties in this life. If we are going through difficulties, and you know, it's one of those things you always hear someone say, "Well, I pray for patience." Well, then all the difficulties comes that will give them patience, and they ask the Lord, "Take these difficulties from me. I can't take it. I can't bear it." We constantly want to mature in faith. We want to mature in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Well, how do you mature? How do you build a muscle that's weak? You use it. You stretch it beyond what it can do. You strengthen it through that means, but it hurts. It's not easy. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. "I'm going to strengthen your faith." He's talking to the disciples. "I'm going to strengthen your belief in me. You're going to be able to walk closer to me throughout your life because of what I'm going to do. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that for that sake." And then it's interesting. We always think of Thomas as doubting Thomas. But here in verse 16 it says, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, I don't think he was speaking about Lazarus. I think he was speaking about Christ. Because the disciples were worried about Jesus going to Judea, that the Jews sought to stone him. They thought, he's going to die there. Well, Thomas is saying, "Let us go, that we may die with him, that we'll support him and do what it takes to protect him." And so you see that the disciples are even, they're trusting the Lord, but yet they don't do it with understanding. They don't recognize his power. They don't recognize exactly what he's about. And so you think about that delay. You know, I've thought about that delay at times in my life. That delay seems difficult when you're in those shoes. Mary and Martha thought that delay was awful until they saw their brother restored. There's delays that take place that it seems that the Lord isn't answering. Sometimes that may be the answer, that he's not answering. It's a no. And sometimes it takes longer than we see, longer than we'd like to see. But that doesn't mean that the Lord isn't working all things out together for our good, according to Romans 8:28, to those that are called, to those that love God. So Jesus arrives in Bethany. And it's the state of things as he arrives there. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's been in the grave. The funeral has taken place. He's been put in the grave and it's closed off. Now, Bethany is close to Jerusalem, and so In fact, today, Bethany is actually incorporated into the city of Jerusalem. It's kind of just gobbled it up. And so there are a lot of the Jews that came to Mary and Martha because they knew the family. They were a family that showed a lot of piety, worshipped the Lord, and worshipped God, went to the temple for sacrifices. So the Jews knew who they were. They recognized them. And so they came to the family. They came to the family to comfort them. They came to the family because they tried to bear them up and lift them up. Well, they try and comfort Mary and Martha, but it's interesting. What can they do for Lazarus? They can do nothing. They can do nothing for them. That man can do nothing for the dead, whether it's physical death.
Sorry.
I understand.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. But you can always get the chance to listen to the rest of it on the internet.
Yes. It's not nice doing this. Right?
No, I understand. That's all right.
Thank you.
You all take care. It was nice meeting you.
Wish you well in your ministry and hope things go well with you.
Thank you very much. No, that's all right.
We're moving out on you.
Yeah, that's all right. Pray for us. Pray for us, and we'll be praying for you. Did she give you a card?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a card. I've not got one. I actually go about giving out leaflets.
Mm-hmm.
Just a digest of what happened, how the Lord saves.
Yeah.
And how to come to know the Lord. You know, in England, any of our visits to England have had great difficulty. But some of the poorer places in Scotland, it's received, especially at the courts, the legal courts, they will all accept. Only maybe one or two who are beyond knowing what's going on, they might refuse them when it's up in the courts. And all the university ones, I can guarantee you about 7 out of 10 of the students at university accept, and quite a few ask questions.
Well, good.
But in this town, you're going to find a man is in the course.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. No, we understand. Pray for us.
We'll go there.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Boys, stop. Take your hand off. Take your hand off. Man can do nothing for the dead. He can do nothing for the dead physically. When someone's dead, they're gone. The life of man is in the hand of God. So is the spiritual life of man. The only one who can do something for the dead spiritually is Jesus Christ. So Martha hears that Jesus has come. Now, it's interesting, Jesus doesn't go to their house. And Jesus doesn't even tell the disciples that they're going to see Mary and Martha. And usually, in the case of someone who's died, you go to visit the relatives. If for some reason one of us in this room had died, you go to visit those who are alive, not the one who's died. Why? Because you try and comfort those who have died. Well, Jesus, when he told the disciples what he was doing, he says, we're going to go to Lazarus, not to Mary and Martha. He's going to the one who's died. And so we find that when Martha hears about Jesus, she goes and meets him. She goes and meets him. He doesn't come to her house. They're met somewhere else. And she comes to Christ, and she says to Christ that if he had been there, Lazarus would not have died. It's fascinating because Mary will make the same statement later on. He says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They recognized who the Lord was. They recognized the power that he had. And they trusted him. And so they're kind of in a little bit of a state of shock that Jesus had not been there. But she still trusts him. You see in verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He's going to be raised again. And Mary and Martha says, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection and at the last day. They trusted God that he was going to raise the dead, those that trusted him. They believed the words in the scriptures. And yet, that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How can he speak like that? Except he's speaking spiritually. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's a new life in Christ. It's abundant and free. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How is it possible that I'm not going to die because I trust Christ? Because I believe in him. I've known Christians that have died. My body's not going to go on forever. So was Jesus saying something that was wrong? No. Because he was speaking about my soul. About who I am. See, my body only makes up one part of me. I have a soul, I have a spirit. And that part will not die. Because death is separation from God. That part will never be separated from God. I have eternal life right here, right now. Because as soon as this body dies, my soul will be with the Lord. Immediately. So I'll never be separated from my Heavenly Father. I'll never be separated from my Lord. Because of the work that he's done in my heart, in my life. Because I've trusted him. Because he's drawn me to him. And so Jesus says that to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a statement. What a statement to make to someone. That if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, though you were dead, yet shall you live. That's amazing. And not only that, it's an already and a not yet, because not only that, although my body may die, one day my body will rise again. One day when he comes back, when the Lord comes back, he'll raise my body and put it back together with my soul. And it'll be a new body, a changed body, an immortal body. And I'll be forever with the Lord. And that's an incredible statement that Jesus makes here. And it's whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's fascinating. Martha believes. She says it. In verse 27, she says, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's fascinating. Martha believes him. She trusts him. And when she says that, she turns around and she goes, runs home and gets her sister, Mary. And says, Mary, come on. Jesus is here. Let's go talk to him. Now the Jews that were around, they saw this happen and they thought, oh, they're going to the grave to mourn over at the grave of Lazarus. Let's go and help them and comfort them in this time of difficulty. But that's not what Mary is doing. She's going and she's running to Jesus. And she falls down at his feet. She falls down at his feet and says the same thing that Martha said. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, what's interesting is Jesus' response. It says in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He was upset. Jesus was upset. He had a difficult time. And he asked, where have they laid him? Where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. He cried. He was heartbroken, if you can use that language for the Lord. And you say, well, why was he? Was it because of Lazarus? Because Lazarus has died? No. He knew what he was going to do for Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. It was for Mary. It was for Martha's sake. Because of the pain that they went through. Because although the Lord knows it's for their best, and glad that their faith will be strengthened, it does not give him joy to see his children go through pain. Just as it doesn't see me give any joy when my children are hurt. I don't get happy about that. Now I know that that might teach them caution. And I will try and teach them lessons from it that will help them to grow, become wiser. It doesn't mean I'm happy they're hurt. Sometimes I have to cause the pain. Because of something that they've done that they shouldn't have done. Or they were supposed to do something that they didn't do. And that's even harder. But I know it's in their best interest for me to do that. Because my Heavenly Father has taught me. Because Jesus has taught me. That sometimes you have to go through those things to learn valuable lessons. And so, Jesus goes to the grave. And the Jews said, they see this weeping and they say, behold how they loved him. And yes, it's true, Jesus did love Lazarus. But again, remember why he's weeping. For the sake of those that went through the pain. And it's fascinating because the Jews, they themselves, say the same thing. They repeat what Mary and Martha said, but they do it in not quite as nice of a way, it seems. They say, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And so they say this, and it's, you have a picture in the mind of the Pharisees. Because they didn't follow Jesus. They didn't trust him. And yet they recognized his miracles. They recognized that he'd opened the eyes of the blind, that he healed the lame. And they said, couldn't he have even healed this man so that he wouldn't have died? They didn't trust Christ. They didn't follow him. How hypocritical of the Pharisees to be able to say that about the Lord. They saw all those miracles and they knew they were true. And that they still didn't trust. They still didn't obey. That's the mind of man, isn't it? That's how we are when we're dead in our sins. Well, Jesus doesn't leave it there. He comes to the cave where Lazarus has been laid. And it says that he actually groaned in himself again. Well, this time it's not because of the people, it's because of the glory of God. Because the people are not glorying God right now. They're saying he could have done it, but he didn't. And how much was his love? And so he groans within himself. He's saddened by the fact that God is not being glorified. And then he says to his Martha, take him away. Take away the stone. You see, it was a cave where they would lay the body and they'd put a stone over it so no wild animals can come. And he said, take away the stone. And Martha, his sister, Lazarus' sister, says, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been in there for 4 days. His body has started to decompose. Decay has set in. And Jesus saith unto her, in verse 40, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. See, that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to display his glory. The glory of the Father. And so they take away the stone. They take away the stone. They've obeyed. And Jesus prays. Now this, I think, is the only time that I'm aware of that Jesus prays for the benefit of others hearing him pray. Now, obviously, Jesus is always praying for our benefit. But he's praying so that others will hear him. Because he wants them to recognize that he and the Father are one. That the Father hears him. And so he prays. And the people hear. And then he cries for the dead man to come forth. He cries for Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days. His sisters say he stinks. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man obeys. How? How's it possible? Because Jesus has made him alive. Jesus has made him alive. And what can a man do but obey the Lord? He obeys. He walks out. I don't know how it's possible. I don't know how it is. how it takes place. But Jesus makes him alive, gives him the ability to obey. And he obeys, he comes out, he comes to the Lord. That's a picture of salvation. Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He says, you're dead in trespasses and sins. But if you're a Christian, you have been quickened. You have been given life by the Lord. How? I don't know. It's the Spirit of God. It's Him that works. And then you're able to obey. You're able to come. You're able to trust. And He tells you to believe. Whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What does Jesus call you to do? He says to believe. He says to trust him. But he clearly says it. You must trust. You must obey his voice. Now we know a dead man can't obey unless the Spirit quickeneth him. It's the only way it can happen. If you are a Christian here today, it's because God has quickened you through His Spirit to trust Christ. And you know, it's fascinating that it worked. They saw His glory. You look at this at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. They were saved. So not only was one dead man raised that day, there were more. They weren't physically dead. They were spiritually dead. It wasn't just one resurrection that took place that day. It was multiple resurrections. Because those men were raised from the dead spiritually. Just as you, if you are a Christian, were raised from the dead spiritually. Just as I have been raised from the dead spiritually. Because of the work of God in my heart. Because of the work of Jesus Christ. Through His blood. You know, so if you're a Christian today, you can rejoice that God has quickened you. And you can take comfort from the fact that even through circumstances that you don't understand, difficulties, things that you wish were different, God is going to use those in your life to strengthen your faith, to strengthen your belief in Him. Because He's going to work all things together for your good. And this is a wonderful example of it. Don't fall under the load that you have, because He's there for you. Remember that you were once dead and been made alive, and that if it took the death of the Son of God to save you, what else is He going to hold back? And if you sit here today and you do not know the Savior, listen to His voice. He commands the sinner to come forth. He commands the dead to be raised. Now we know that it's only through His power that the dead can walk. It's only through His power that the spiritually dead can have new life. That's a new birth. Absolutely, without a doubt. But He says, come forth. You must obey. You must trust Him. Not trust your faith. Not trust that you did something a certain time ago. Not trust that you followed some prescription that someone said. You didn't walk down the aisle about your baptism or anything else. No, you trust Christ. And you keep on trusting Christ. I trust Christ today. And I trust Him in a greater way than I ever did when He first saved me. So we point you to Him. Look to Christ in repentance and faith. Trust Him. Because He can make you alive. He can cause you to obey. Because He is the resurrection. He is the life. And those that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out.